Our last speaker is Cecily Hall, who's a director of U.S. Benefits for Microsoft Corporation. I just want to mention a couple of things. She administers 55 health and welfare plans and programs, approximately 100,000 employees in Microsoft. And some of her work was recognized and acknowledged for innovation during the Clinton administration. Cecily.
So, there we go. So it is an absolute honor to be here, and I am the last panel speaker, so I will try to keep this lively and engaging, but we've had some amazing presentations this morning, and I hope you're learning from this. I certainly am, and I will have to give several disclaimers, though, as I start my talk. Yes, I've been at Microsoft for the last 18 years. 2 weeks ago, I retired. So it was an amazing journey, a fun job to have, and I'm forever grateful for that experience. And so I will tell you, as part of my disclaimers, old habits die hard with me. So sometimes I still talk in present tense, and I'm working to modify that. Retirement has been fun. Thus far, these 2 weeks, I've been giving, this is my third presentation in 2 weeks. One in Miami, one in Seattle, and here in Montreal. So I haven't necessarily been sitting around eating bonbons, but I am out looking for my next big adventure, and so this is a fun place to be, learning with all of you. So my other disclaimer is I walk around a lot, so I will try to hold still so I don't drive the camera person crazy. And last but not least, while I was at Microsoft, my responsibilities spanned everything from healthcare, which I'm very passionate about, all the way to disability plans, workers' compensation, leaves of absence, parenting programs, and all the way through the spectrum to the company picnic, which was a small, intimate gathering for about 70,000 people every year. So within the range of benefits, I've had some great experiences, but today I'm going to focus predominantly in telling all of you a story, and instead of speaking at the macro level, I'm going to speak at the micro level and talk to you about a program that was developed while I was there, my team and I launched, which was called the Microsoft Mobile Medicine Program. So I'm going to talk about the program itself and why the program was created, how it was done, and the results to date. But first, it's probably good to give you a little background on Microsoft itself. So there are currently 76,000-plus employees worldwide in 104 countries, but really close now to 35,000, almost 36,000 now, are residing in the Puget Sound area, which is the Seattle area. The average age, 37, so it's a young group. When I joined the company in 1992, I have to think about that, the demographics were 75% male and 25% female. I will tell you that today it has not changed, interestingly enough. That is not necessarily unusual for the high-tech sector, but it has not changed. And the average tenure is 6 years, which is also fairly common within high-tech. Actually, it's increased. A few years ago, it was about 4.5 years. Again, that's not necessarily unusual. But I will also tell you that 51% of Microsoft employees in the U.S. have children. Average family size is 2.6, and they are a fertile bunch. On average, about 8 Microsoft babies born each day in the U.S., and oh, look, as we speak, here's another one arriving. So this is an unusual demographic in some sectors, and yet it was important in the shaping of the program that I'm going to talk about. So the other thing that you should know is that Microsoft in the U.S. has opted to not cost share for their employee benefits, meaning there is no out-of-pocket expense for an employee or their family members as they access health care. I personally think, and very similar to what Brent was saying, you know, it sets up an environment where there are no barriers to care. And I actually think we got some better results, and we're able to control our costs because of that, and sometime I'd be happy to speak with you about that. But nonetheless, that's unusual in the U.S. And so as people were accessing care, whether it was to get prescriptions or have their eyes checked or go see their physician for a sniffle, there was no out-of-pocket expense. And so from a plan design perspective and employee benefits realm, that's an unusual circumstance, and it doesn't provide individuals at the planning, in the planning roles, to use what's more typical or traditional in behavior modification. Because oftentimes, when companies will see high utilization of healthcare, they will increase the copay, or they'll use cost mechanisms to control that utilization. And that was not something that was within my toolkit, if you will, at Microsoft. And again, I think that there's a lot of pros to that, but there's some cons. You should also know that at Microsoft, they're importing a lot of foreign employees into the U.S., and so therefore those individuals are logically not familiar with the U.S. healthcare system and understand that within the U.S., the healthcare system itself is based predominantly on having a primary care physician, one individual who you utilize for accessing predominantly most of your care. I don't know that this is a U.S. problem, but there is certainly lack of integration between providers within the U.S. And then also because of what you saw in the previous slide, you understand that we have a high ratio of new parents. So what was happening with the combination of those things plus a few other things, including having really amazing hospitals in the Puget Sound area, Children's Hospital is an example, we were getting an above-average emergency room utilization. So high, in fact, at times it was twice the national average in the U.S. And so this was a business problem for my team and myself. And, in fact, that going from also the basis that only 20 to 30% of those ER visits were for emergent conditions became a very big problem to solve. Now, often when I talk about this program, I remind people that it was not so long ago where if you were at a social setting, or even perhaps today, it would not be unusual for people to be excusing themselves from the room to go check their service, to pick up their messages. It was not that long ago where I might have said to David, can you tell me what time it is because I forgot to wind my watch this morning. And it also wasn't that long ago in our history in the U.S. where we would have a physician go to a home to deliver care because that individual was just too ill to get out, or it made sense because the type of care that could be delivered at the end of the day or the beginning of the day for the physician in the home was absolutely appropriate for the condition being treated. And so I am not here to suggest that we go back to winding watches, but I am here to say that that mode of care, that high-touch care that was also discussed earlier, is appropriate, can be appropriate, and in fact can lend to better outcomes. Thus, this program was born. In the U.S., emergency rooms are absolutely overcrowded and under stress. Average wait time is 222 minutes. 24% of those emergency rooms are over at capacity, and in fact, I would suspect it's that stat has changed in the wrong direction because of H1N1. So we had this opportunity to reduce inappropriate emergency room utilization, improve the delivery of health care with early intervention, working to establish that primary care physician relationship, and also integration with other Microsoft Health programs. So we wanted to take advantage of what we perceived to be a learning moment where someone was seeking care. Someone was without answers as to how to best access care. They were going to an emergency room, which they felt was the only alternative, and now we had an opportunity to provide them with a different alternative. So we launched what we call the Microsoft Mobile Medicine Program. It was a partnership between a physician group. I happened to meet a physician one time who was describing to me his business model, which was essentially he and a few of his docs were delivering care in hotels. So someone would get ill, they'd call the front desk. Front desk would call this physician, and they would dispatch one of his employees or himself to the hotel to treat the situation. So as we were brainstorming, I asked him, well, why can't you deliver that in a corporate environment? Well, I think I can. So that was the genesis of this program. But and that particular company is now, they used to be called On-Site Docs. They're now called Carina, a play on words of care and arena. But their founding principle was to improve access to high-quality medical care. And then we've added the education component and lower costs and improve outcomes. So we started a pilot where I needed Carina. We had Microsoft. I used a nurse line service, which is Evergreen Healthline, and Premera, which is a Blue Cross Association member, to manage these claims. And we started a pilot near the Microsoft campus. And you can see our program objectives. I don't like to read slides to people. But essentially, again, I was trying to reduce the use of the emergency room in non-emergent situations, assist members in getting a primary care relationship established, promote my other programs if that came into play, and improve outcomes. So here's how it works. A patient in need will call the 24-hour nurse line. They'll either be directed to the emergency room, or if possible, and if the illness or injury is of the proper disposition, they will be offered the opportunity to have a physician come to their home. The physician would arrive within 60 minutes. The physician will call on their way to make sure, one, this is an appropriate use of their services, or perhaps additional triage is needed, and perhaps this individual should go to the emergency room. But nonetheless, the physician will arrive within 60 minutes, and they then spend the next hour with the patient. So they come in, they treat the acute situation, they take a full medical history, which is not always done in busy physician offices these days. And then they further assess any other underlying health issues that may be occurring. So it's available 24/7. We've talked about the founding principle. The physicians are skilled, highly skilled in not only general medicine, but they have a great bedside manner. And it's really important as you're in someone's home to make them feel comfortable with you being there, to establish quickly a rapport, and then, as I said, take a full health history and address any other underlying conditions. What's been amazing to me throughout the launch of this program is how many times other Microsoft benefits are now come into play as part of these dialogues. So, as you can imagine, if there's a physician in a home treating a child for asthmatic conditions, and while they're in the home, they realize that one of the parents smokes, this is a great teaching moment to talk to that parent about Microsoft's smoking cessation program and how they might get engaged in that. And there's, you know, 1,000 different applications of this with various different programs. But nonetheless, my organization, while I was at Microsoft, did not have the ability to get into the home and get that close with the employee and their family members. And therefore, these physicians have become essentially ambassadors of the team. This idea, once launched, took off. It did not take too long for employees to absolutely appreciate this and start talking about it. And in fact, within the employer community, it has now started to take off. So Costco uses this service as well. They use it for workers' compensation claims instead, but similar. Starwood has joined in. Also, drugstore.com just recently joined. And I know Karina is talking with other employers as well. So where it works well is when you've got a high concentration of individuals in one geographic area, because these docs are dispatched and need to, you know, kind of reduce the drive time. But if one employer doesn't have that demographic, then they can partner with other employers, I think, to launch this as well. So we've talked about the service. You know, the physicians use GPS. I'm often asked about that. And they do use an electronic medical record. And the other thing that I enjoy about this is that the physicians, for the first time in their careers, often say, this is exactly how I was trained to deliver medicine. And so it's become a great employment opportunity for the physicians that are working for Karina. So here's the results. We are capturing high-risk patients, which is interesting because we didn't set out to do that. The higher-than-average health score is showing in most of the folks that are accessing this service. We have had, at Microsoft, immediate cost savings because the replacement of those visits meant hard dollar savings, because the visits themselves are less costly by several hundred dollars on average than an emergency room visit. So to date, this year, Microsoft has saved about $1 million in hard savings, and they and then just recently they served up about, I guess it was their 12,000th a mobile medicine visit. So this is fairly well established now. And we're seeing improved nurse line utilization, which is great. We have had some recognition for this program. I had the distinct honor of talking to President Obama about it earlier this year. And he had a lot of good questions about this program as well. But also, both political parties in the U.S. are actually interested, because Newt Gingrich also, if you know anything about him, he's heading up the Center for Health Transformation, and he too has been quite impressed with it. So that's my story. I would be more than happy to take questions as we get into the question and answer session, but I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. We have a slight problem. We have run out of time for questions. So I'm on the assumption that you have questions. Well, there's two things that can happen. One is that we're going to have wider question periods throughout the day, so we can all stay and you can jot your questions down and ask them later of the panel, assuming the panel are all going to be here. Or what I'm going to suggest is that we take a BlackBerry break, whatever kind of break you want, coffee, BlackBerry, a quick one, bring your coffee back here. We may be able to just grab it 10 minutes or so for some questions for follow-up, but we're at the break now, so let's take the break. And then, if we can, I'd like to start in 10 minutes here and have a short question and answer period. Is that all right? Let's do that.